Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We have an interesting show for you today. And when we speak, many of the posts or many of the subjects that we speak of have been posted on AmazingBlackHistory.com. AmazingBlackHistory.com. We post every Thursday. And you can go there and look at the topic that's going to come up, or the primary topic that's going to come up, because we are open to questions, we're open to suggestions, we're open to recommendations on others. It is a joint program. It is designed to be interactive. Many times we don't have people that take advantage of the interactivity, and part of the fault of that is myself. Because there is a way that we can communicate on this program, and that is to call in. We have lots of listeners that come in through connections through the internet. There is a drawback to that, however, in that I don't see you on my dashboard. My dashboard is that which allows me to see who has called in and allow them to join the conversation. You can listen and hear all of the information that's going on. And we appreciate you for doing that. And we encourage you to share the link that we are listening, that you are currently listening on, with others, because it's important. And I hope that much of the information that you gain today can be used to convince you to invite other people to join us, because the information is significant. And we sometimes don't see why it's important. I know as a young person coming along, I was excited about Negro History Week. Negro History Week. And it was started by Carter G. Woodson, I believe in 1926. But it was not intended to last as long as it has. Why? Because Woodson felt that once people understood that there were contributing factors or contributing people, contributing events to American history, that it would be no longer necessary to set it off apart. But we're finding that that's not true. And it's not true in part because we don't discuss it. We've never had an open discussion of what's taken place. I am from that Black community, and it is embarrassing to tell people that for decades of my life, I never knew what existed there. I had a friend that was head of the Black Studies Department at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. And while I was interested in the information there, I have to admit that I was somewhat unknowing as to why it was important. Yeah, I wanted to hear it. I wanted to know it. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to make that connection. Why? What was it going to gain me? I was working as a chemist, and as far as I'm concerned, history is just something that we studied in high school. It had no relevance. And many people that taught it only wanted me to remember some date, some event, some guy walking around in strange clothes with long hair. And in those days, long hair was not in. And so why? It was always in a place that I was never going to go to, because at that time, there was very little travel. I didn't get a chance, or most people didn't get a chance to go very far from their homes. And this is due to many of the circumstances came from the lack of full citizenship. Yes, we had a car. We had a house before we had a car. And that house was fully paid for before we ever got a car. My parents only had one child, and that was me. But when they graduated from college, and there was a period of 2 years difference in their graduation dates, they began to look at things on a completely different level. They looked at it on a basis of priority, and a house was much more important than not. They both taught, and again, my father could, within a matter of a couple of minutes, be at his school. My mother the same, although during her career, she worked at other schools, but she took cabs. And it was much more relevant to take cabs than to buy a car. And so they did. The first car we had, I remember it was 1950 Chevrolet. Bought it off of the showroom floor. But that's not part of history. When we don't understand who we are, team that we have, then we lose something. We miss something. When we are in a basketball game, we need to know who can do what and how well they can do it. We need to know their strengths and their weaknesses so that we can utilize the best that they have. Now, as we enter into this discussion, I want to give you a phone number, and you can call that phone number if you have questions, comments, suggestions, or anything of the nature, because it's very important that we understand who we are, what we're capable of doing, and where we are going. Now, that number is 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. Richard T. Greener, a name that I had never heard of until fairly recently. Now, I'm always on the lookout for those people, those events, those places that play a significant role in Black history, or actually American history, that have been omitted partially because they are Black people involved. Sometimes it's embarrassing, downright embarrassing, to talk about it. On both sides, both sides. And the reason that I say both sides in this case is because many conversations, and we're like without ammo. We don't have anything to shoot back at you. We don't have anything to bring forward except our feelings. And this is where I believe this program fills a void. It fills a void. Because it lets us understand who we are, what we have done, and it takes nothing away from anyone else. It takes nothing away from anyone else. This is Hispanic Heritage Month. Yes, Hispanics have been drugged through the mud just like we have. There would not be a need for Hispanic Heritage Month if it were included in American history, if it were included in history, if it were included in history of the world. We skirt these issues many times because we don't feel comfortable talking about it. And the reason we don't feel comfortable talking about it is because as we look back and look at facts, many of the actions that we have taken that we undergird as if they didn't exist by omission, they're shameful. Shameful. And such is the case of Richard T. Greener. As I've mentioned before, I am born and raised in South Carolina. Richard T. Greener is important because he is from, what we're talking about today, he did in South Carolina. And it flows contrary to what history tells us. What does history tell us? We look back as European members of this country, citizens of this country, tell us that they were so benevolent when they and enslaved people brought back across the Atlantic Ocean and put them to work making them rich, absolutely filthy rich. Now, what we sometimes don't talk about is the African, the entire place where Africans have been brought to. There were way more enslaved people brought to South America than there were to North America. And we see the numbers, and they're horrifying here. But what we did is we fueled the economy of the world, and wasn't to our advantage. Regardless of what that clown down in Florida says, we had skills before we came here, But when we look back at Gomez de Azura, a Portuguese who was paid to write negative information about people from Africa, and part of that was to justify slavery. People say, why is everything going back that way? Because that's where the facts point falls. That is where the facts point. People that were already Christian, Muslim, and other religions, and we look at them as if they are savages. Same thing to Native Americans. And I've mentioned before as to why I hate calling them Indians. The reason that we call them Indians is because Columbus, who was not the first person to come to the Americas, because when Columbus came, it's estimated that there were 15 million people living in the Americas. He wasn't. And there are records that indicate in his own records that the people were trading with Africans before he ever got here. We knew the world was round. His calculations were off. There's nothing wrong with calculations being off. But what we end up doing is we celebrate somebody for what they have done. We saw people with brown skin, red skin as they're sometimes called, and thought that he was in India, the country of India. And so he called them Indians. That's like into your house and getting you confused. Let's say your name is Jones, and they think they're at the Smith house, and now suddenly you are a Smith. What do these people want to be called? Many of the names that we use today have no reflection on what those people call themselves. We get names from their neighbors as to what they call them, and if we look at the accuracy of that, we sometimes know that is not necessarily good. But let's go back to Richard T. Greener. He is absolutely the reverse of what we have been taught all of our years. Let's look at what I was taught. Now, again, when I talk about Greener, understand that I was raised up less than 100 miles from where he made his achievements known. but I don't know about it. I do not know. I did not know about it. I've done research. And what we attempt to do in talking about it here, in making the information available on AmazingBlackHistory.com, is to allow you to understand as well. The program is not just for people of color. It's for all people. Understand that America is not made up of one people or one type of people or one religion or one anything. We are people working and striving towards principles that were established hundreds of years ago. We're in an experiment, and we're having difficulty sometimes understanding and maintaining the principles under which this great country was established. So, again, let us look at Greener. And again, I encourage you, if you have questions, to call in. Now, as I talk about that, I want you to tag, bookmark, do whatever you can to AmazingBlackHistory.com. Because while we try to talk about one subject at a time, we're approaching 400 articles on that site. So how do you find them? Look at the blog list. There is a category called blog list. And that lists all of what we see. It's not always about the accomplishments that we have done. Sometimes it's about the beatdowns that we have endured. Sometimes it's about events that have taken place that we have no knowledge of. We look at the good, the bad, the ugly, and it doesn't take anything away from anybody. We have many white people, Europeans, Caucasians, however you want to categorize them, as being ashamed of slavery. That day is gone. It is past. It is over. We don't need to drag that into the future, except for the fact of understanding the relevance of those attitudes. Why? It doesn't drag us down. Yes. But we could be further down the road. And as we talk about this, I want you to understand that. Richard Greener, or what we have been told, is that people of African ancestry did not have the intelligence to be able to exist on their own. Now, this is, on the face of it, an innocent sounding statement, except it's as stupid as anything I can ever think of. Because we had large cities in Africa. We sometimes think of Africa as a backward continent. There are over 50 countries on the continent of Africa, just as there are different countries in Americas. When we look at North America, we have Mexico, we have America, we have Canada. That's three. Now, Africa is three times the size of the United States, so we have a very large country. And civilization, as we know it, started in Africa. Education, as we know, started in Africa. Ancient Romans and Greeks went to Africa to learn. We don't talk about that because it throws shade on the fact that we have countries in America talked about the fact that these people are somehow subhuman, somehow not capable of what other people are doing. Not only are we capable, but we have demonstrated that. So we come off. The discussion of race in any form, good, bad, or indifferent, because we don't want to talk about the subject. We don't want to talk about what we have done. We have politicians, fast-speaking, low-truth index people running their mouth left and right, and most of them don't know what they're talking about. This is why when we talk about a post or a podcast, we are trying to give you information that you don't have, trying to present it in a way. Because on these posts, we have a summary, but we also have videos. We also have books. And we do this so that you can get a fuller understanding, so that you don't have to spend weeks or months studying a single topic. You can go back to them, many of them are cross-referenced, and you can look at what is taking place. So we look at Richard T. Greener. What did Greener do? He busted the myth that we have a lack of intelligence. Well, you don't know who Richard T. Greener is. Problem. Why don't we? Once we talk about this individual, you should understand the magnitude of his contribution. Let me give you that phone number again. 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. And we do encourage you to call in. And if we hit something that you have a question about, a comment about, disagree with me about, please use it, because I want to make it clear what's taking place. I can't expect you to have changed something before you were born. So let's put that in the past. What I can do is expect you to understand from the past, understand what's going on in the present, and hope that you will help us secure a better future, which we can do. We've done it time and time again. But we have a lack of intelligence. We couldn't form self-motivation. We couldn't give ourselves a goal and accomplish it. I guess we were, in many cases, looked at as little more than one of the great apes. And we find that they have more intelligence many times than we think that they do. But Richard T. Greener graduated from one of the most respected institutions in this country. He was a Harvard University graduate. Harvard University, one of the first to graduate from this well-respected college. We didn't have very many people that had the opportunity, because as you can remember back, many states and other governmental bodies passed laws that it was illegal to teach people of African ancestry to read, write, or do numbers. And this worked against them. They were, in many cases, the foundation of the finances of this country. When we look back at the value that America brought to the world, we find that over half of the entire gross national product of America was based on the free labor that slaves were providing to the economy. The value of slaves in the South were worth more than the factories and the railroads in the North, and accounted for more than 50% of all of the money generated in this country. I want you to understand that when the Civil War broke out, New York seriously, seriously faced the question of, do we join the Confederacy? New York but most of their economy was based out of the South. They shipped goods overseas. They shipped goods everywhere. The factories were dependent upon the cotton that was generated in the South. We don't answer this because we may get to the point where we understand we owe something for what they had to endure. So while we're passing laws to make sure that black people do not learn, and that if you decide to teach one, that you are guilty of a crime, has no difference as to whether you believe in slavery or not. Slavery could have been enhanced if it were more of a partnership where people were compensated for what they did, but that's not the way it was. Hey, you, go out there and make me rich. Make me rich. That's all I want you for. We talk about New England states and the northern states that had the factories. They were building ships. Ships for what? To go to Africa and bring slaves over here. So much of the economy, even in the North, was based on the South. Where did this land come from? It was taken from the Native Americans, people that we denied citizenship to who owned this place before anybody got here from Europe. This is what we have done. Is it embarrassing? It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Richard Greener was given an opportunity and graduated from one of the most prestigious schools that we have ever had, still well respected, and yet we don't know about it. What did Richard Greener do afterwards? He was the first African ancestor of ours to be a professor at the University of South Carolina. I've asked this question of people. When do you think this happened? Oh, maybe the 1960s, 1970s, are some of the most prominent guesses that come up. Well, you got part of it right. He did this in 1873. 1873. 1873. While we were going around preaching that people didn't have the intelligence to read or write. Greener was a professor at the University of South Carolina. Also, what we don't know is that at one point, most of the students at the University of South Carolina were black. That's when they opened it up to citizens of the state of South Carolina. Black people knew the importance of education. In fact, I think he knew it better than most of us now, because often we are more interested in than we are in learning. We don't get involved in the education of our children to the extent that we should. We have people now saying, what you did is unimportant. But they don't know what we have done. I'm going to open the mics shortly for a comment. I see we have a couple of people on, and we'll go back into the show. But Richard T. Greener also organized the library at the University of South Carolina. He taught. He finally moved on. In fact, he graduated from law school at the University of South Carolina and was able to practice in South Carolina and Washington, D.C. Now, is this an idiot? No, he's not. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But if we show that one person was capable of doing it, we show that many people were capable of doing it. Many people were capable of doing it. And with that brings up the issue. Well, how can we justify the beatings? How can we justify taking the life of people? Remember, we were chattel slavery. And what does that mean? That means we had no more rights under the law than did your kitchen table, your dining room chair. And there are examples of this. If you wanted to cut off a leg off of your dining room chair, that chair cannot go to court and say, he can't do this to me. Do you realize that there have been times, and I think they persist, a black man could not testify in court, could not testify against a white person? This is our history. If we don't understand it, we're going to end up being hamstrung by it, beaten, lynched. We claim that we are liberty and justice for all. But if we go to Alabama, there's a museum there with over 4,000 examples of people who were lynched. Sometimes for things as minor as not getting off the sidewalk when a white person went by. Not tipping your hat to a white person. And they were done so without a trial. They were under the most ridiculous of circumstances. What I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to open these microphones for a few minutes. I'll go back into the program, but this is not the end of it. I do want you to stay online. I want other people to join us. So we do that, and I see that we have a person from South Carolina. Phone number starts with 283. If you have any comments, we can make them now. You're welcome to. Caller, any comments, questions, suggestions?
No comments at this time.
All right, I appreciate it, and thank you for listening. I hope that you share the site so that others can also gain value from the information that we're talking about. I do appreciate you very much. Marshall, are you there? Marshall, are you there?
Yes.
Any questions or comments at this point?
Yes, sir. Awfully proud to be listening to you today. As always, it's always a pleasure, and you certainly educates us all. It made me think about our Sunday school lesson today about doing the right thing the wrong time. That Sunday school lesson was so important that we get things mixed up and everything, and that's why we need to be taught. We need to be taught what the difference is about doing the right thing but at the wrong time. Now, that depends on what you're doing. But what you're doing is the right thing seemingly all of the time, because you are telling us the truth. You're letting us know what it is we can expect, and you're educating us to the truth and not a lie that somebody else told. You giving history where that they gave his story. That's what the difference is I see that you're giving. And that person who called a while ago, we just left, and we're getting ready tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock at New Trinity doing another edition of the Florence Chapel Alumni.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I want you to keep us updated to that. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the mics. I'm going to go back, and I don't want you to leave. I'm going to go back into why it's important that we know the story of Richard T. Greener. So hang in there with us, and we'll be back with you
right here.
Shortly.
Right here.
Okay. Now, why is it important that we know the story of Richard T. Greener? One, the myth is there that black people have done nothing to further the civilization of this country, the educational basis in this country. And we have been looked at in terms of movies, radio, TV, newspapers. This omission has left us with the stereotype that we have never done anything, that we're incapable of doing it. And so many black people don't realize that we are capable of so much. And the fact that we were able to do what we have done, we graduated from Harvard, one of the most respected institutions around, and we were on the faculty. Now, many people, today is basically the first week of football. The NFL, or professional football, started off with a very few number, a very small number of black people. And then they went through a period of 12 years where they had absolutely zero black players. Zero. And that happened, and it changed in 1947. Wait a minute. Anyway, let me get this together. Because what happened is these all-white teams were playing. They were being given stadiums and everything else. And what happened is when the Rams moved from, I believe, Cleveland to Los Angeles, people protested. What are they protesting? You're using governmental funds to provide a stadium for all white players. I want us to understand the value of this. We have to understand who we are, what we're capable of, and what we can do, and what we need to do. We sometimes hear announcers talk about Fitz Pollard. What country is that white man from? He wasn't a white man. He was a black man. And he was a player and a coach. This is before we got to the point of having separate coaches from the players. And he was significant. But we get to a point where we go all white. And that's because we didn't have the opportunity. And what happened is the Rams had to play some black players in order to justify their even existence in the stadium. Woody Strode and another player who right off, I cannot remember his name, was signed to play for the Los Angeles Rams. The Cleveland Browns also did the same. Two players. And that reintegrated the National Football League. What I want you to understand is that went forth with little fanfare. That was the year before Jackie Robinson integrated baseball. Now, because we don't know our history, we believe that Jackie Robinson was the first black player to play in the major leagues. We neglect the name of Fleetwood Walker, who played. Very significant player. And what happened? Teams came and said, we're not going to play you because you have a black player. And they called it bluff. But we have to understand that we are citizens of this country and we deserve what we get. We're now looking at the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. Most of us, to our chagrin, have not read the Constitution or know very much about the Articles of the Constitution. We should all have a book with the Constitution in it so we can look it up. What is significant is whether one of the people running for presidency is able to do so, because it says you cannot pick up a public office if you have provided comfort to those people that rose up against this country. We need to understand that as much as we do our professional football, basketball, baseball, and other players. Not knowing our history, we think that hockey is a white sport. There was a Negro Hockey League that existed from 1895 to 1925. It was in Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and in that part of the world. And we don't realize that many people exited this country determined to escape slavery. Some people went to the North, but understood that when laws like the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law came along, that gave the right of a person to go into free country and say, that's my Negro. And whether you believed in slavery or not, you had to help that person capture and return or even enter slavery with that person. This is what this country has been about. We have been down in so many different ways. But Greener was a stark example that that's not where we belonged. 1873, his accomplishments were so great that he was hired as a faculty member by the University of South Carolina. Not knowing this, we don't have children coming up saying, I'm going to be a college professor, because everything we put in their face says, you picked cotton. You did this. You did that. You were a slave. The shame of slavery does not belong to those enslaved. It belongs to those people that enslaved other human beings made by God. God didn't have a Model A and a Model B. All people were made the same. The only thing that is primarily the difference is the melanin in the skin. That's what gives the skin its color. That's what gives it to us. We are all made by God. We neglect to talk about the pyramids, and we're still trying to figure out how these people did it, how they calculated, what needed to be done, how it was done, how they were able to make the block that we use to do that. We see some of what happened. Many people have never heard of the Bent Pyramid, the Bent, B-E-N-T Pyramid. The Bent Pyramid started off, and they had to change the slope of the sides because of a miscalculation. Also, people don't realize that there are pyramids in the Americas. Pyramids in the Americas. Egypt is on the continent of Africa, along with 50-plus other countries. And these people survived, not as savages like we're told, not as savages as we try to portray the Native Americans here. Because they had civilizations. Were there occasional feuds? Yes. But the mass killings didn't come until the Europeans came. And we don't want to talk about that. Let us look at the Black Hills of South Dakota. We made a treaty with these people. I don't know why we did, but we were taking their land. Taking their land. And we made an agreement that the hills, that sacred part of their land, would be theirs forever until white man discovered gold. Oh, no, we can't do this. We have to renege on what we promised, the treaty that we made. We look at the treaties that we have made. We see people. We talk about the Trail of Tears. There are many Native Americans, and some do and some don't, who look at the $20 bill with contempt. Why? Because the man on that bill was the one that forced Native Americans off of their land and into Indian territory, which was Oklahoma. We break treaties, and there's nothing to be said about it. We ignore the accomplishments of people. One of the primary reasons that we were able to win the American Revolutionary War goes to people of color. Crispus Attucks was not a European. The first person to die for people professing that they wanted freedom for themselves, not those people that were making them rich. When we look at James Armstead Lafayette, the first double spy, because he spied for the Continental Army on the British and was so good that Cornwallis wanted him to spy on the Americans. His life was in jeopardy because he couldn't carry papers showing that he was on either side. And yet and still, what he did was he provided fake information to the British, and he provided good information to George Washington. We see George Washington crossing the Delaware, black man in the boat. Who is that? Who is that? Black man. I forget his last name, but he was an African prince that was enslaved and brought over here. I'll think of his name in a minute. These are the people that should be immortalized in our history. And yet we don't. We barely know about them. If it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't have made it. When we look at the song that we hold so dear, the Star Spangled Banner, it was written by a slave owner, a very cruel slave owner by the name of Francis Scott Key. And when we look at the third verse of that song that we're supposed to stand up and take our hats off to, it says, no refuge can save the hireling or slave from the terror of flight nor gloom of the grave. Now, what's a hireling? We were so much looking for freedom that we would fight for anybody that promised us freedom. The English promised us freedom. They were the hirelings. We would do anything to get out. They did free those people. They kept their word. America didn't. And yet we do this. When we look at Barnett versus West Virginia, a case taken by the Supreme Court that said we don't have to stand. And yet and still we crucified poor Colin Kaepernick because he took a position. And he took that position because people in the military said the way that we honor our soldiers is to take a knee. We don't know our history, and yet we are so fragile in positions that we take, that we should take on the basis of strength, not weakness. Strength, not weakness. We built this country. When Michelle Obama says they were living in a house built by slaves, look at who did it. They found grave sites that show what we did. When we look at Wall Street, we find graves there that show that these people who are so lazy suffered. They had muscle pulled away from bone, and that doesn't come from laying around. That comes from overwork. Scientifically, we can look at the skeletons, the teeth, and whatever, and know where people were, what they did, and the nutrition that they had at the time. We don't know ourselves. We don't know that we are able to make it through these times. That doesn't mean that we need to continue to do this forever and ever. We need to take our place, our rightful place in history. Here I am, less than 100 miles from Columbia, where the University of South Carolina originated. I was never told the story of Richard T. Greener because they didn't want me to know that I was capable, that I could be whatever I wanted to be, that I should have the opportunity to do that. What did they do? They finally, reluctantly gave us schools, but they were not built to the same standards. I believe Mary H. Wright in Spartanburg, South Carolina, was one of the first schools ever built for black people to the same standards as the white schools were being built, to the same standards. Can you imagine that? We're paying taxes. The teachers were paid half of what the white teachers were paid for doing the same job. This is what we've had to endure. We shouldn't have had to endure it. We've gotten to the point because we don't know our history. We sometimes don't demand excellence from our students, our children. When my children went to school, job one was school. Now, we can change this. We need to instill in our children to do what needs to be done before they do what they want to do. This means do your schoolwork first. Make room for your schoolwork. Do that. There is no reason that we can't excel in everything we do. Greener taught law at Howard University. Charles Hamilton Houston, who was a mentor to Thurgood Marshall, also taught law at Howard. Thurgood Marshall and Charles Hamilton Houston were the ones that put together the case of Brown v. Board. And one of those cases came out of South Carolina. There were five cases folded together. What we don't realize when we talk about them is Constance Baker Motley, who drafted the entire plan. And she integrated the University of Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. This black woman who shares a birthday with Ketanji Brown Jackson, different year, same day, and inspired her. We could do the same thing with Richard Greener. You can be this. We sometimes think of Malcolm X and don't realize what he was capable of. Born Malcolm Little in Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha, Nebraska. He was an honor student all through high school. An honor student every time. Teacher asked him, what did he want to be? He said, a lawyer. Teacher said, you can't be a lawyer. You're black. You can become a, we in essence do this to our children every time we tell them that they can't do something. Every time we allow an omission like this, we're doing it to them. When that kid says, I want to be a doctor, say, yes, you can. And this is what you need to study. You can do it. You can understand it. You can improve on it. Leonidas Berry, a name that most probably have never heard of, was the first person to transplant a kidney between two people who were not identical twins, who were not identical twins. We do kidney surgery today. We do kidney transplants. But in the early days of pioneering, he did it. We look at Dr. Daniel Hale Williams, who performed the first successful surgery on a beating heart of an individual who had been stabbed. And that man lived for decades. We need to be there. We need to understand that we weren't just a pretty face. We weren't just somebody to pick cotton. When we look at McCormick never demonstrated his Reaper. He never demonstrated the Reaper. It's not even known that he knew how to operate it. He had his slaves do it. Sound familiar? We have had, and I have seen it, and I have been involved as a unknowing participant in this. We have a vacancy in a business, and we don't hire the most competent person for the job because they're black. We get them a white supervisor and say, that person that was will teach you what you need to know. He wasn't qualified enough to hold the position, but he's qualified enough to teach you how to do it. Does that make any sense to anybody? That number is 646-668-8217. I'm sure that we have pushed somebody's button to the point that they are clamoring to talk, to ask a question, to do whatever. It doesn't have to be about Richard Greener. It could be about something that you've heard. And one of the biggest problems that we have today are people who have stories in their families about what could have happened. Not too distant future. We're going to talk about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And we're going to talk about how some of the descendants of Thomas Jefferson said, that's my great-great-great-great-grandfather. And teacher said, sit down and quit lying. And now we know that's true. We've had stories within families of some of you that are listening now that you doubted. Why do you doubt? Maybe because you don't know how to look it up. Maybe that's one of the suggestions you can make. How do we look this information up? Certainly it's not as easy because we go through a period where there's inaccuracy in records because most of them were kept by hand. But it is possible, very possible. Most of us have ancestors that we can be very, very proud of. Very proud of. I never knew about the Hamburg Massacre. And Hamburg is a town in South Carolina as well. We had people there that wanted to vote. Black people who wanted to vote because they knew the importance of it. And it's a good thing that I'm not God. Because these people that want to criticize everything and have never done something as simple as voting, wouldn't be able to talk about anything else. I'd take away that ability. We look at what's going on in Florida. A man is up there saying, your history ain't important. You ain't done nothing. And if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to take you out of office. And it's taken two attorney generals out of office elected by the people. Does that sound like a democracy? Sounds more like the beginning of a dictatorship. I want you to understand something here. You make a big difference. Capital B, capital I, capital G, difference. He ran against a black man, and that scared him, the bejesus out of him, and those people that vote. And he only won by 30,000 people out of the entire state of Florida. 1,000. Those of us listening to the program today could have descended on Florida and got 30,000 registered voters to vote. That clown would not be where he is now. And he wants to bring that to the entire nation. And let me let you in on a little secret. He's not the only one. He's not the only one. A week or two ago, we talked about Axe Handle Saturday. Axe Handle Saturday? What in the world is Axe Handle Saturday? It happened in Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville sound familiar? Yeah, because we just had some idiot kill 3 people because of the color of their skin. The melanin in their skin drove enough hate into that man that he went down and killed 3 people, all black. Finally killed himself. I think that he got it wrong. I think he should have done himself first. But anyway, there were over 200 people during the 1960s, I believe it was in 63, who attacked students who were sitting in wanting to be served a hamburger in downtown Jacksonville and were denied because of the color of their skin. Is this embarrassing? It should be. It should be embarrassing to both blacks and whites because we have allowed and accepted eating a hamburger somewhere as full citizenship. It's not. We don't have full citizenship. And we can own that business until everybody has the opportunity to own our business if they so desire, so choose. Insist because they're not going to give it to us. They're not going to give it to us. Earlier we heard Marshall make comments about Florence Chapel. And the reason I bring that up is because in Duncan, Welford, that area, those students attend James F. Burns High School. James F. Burns, innocent sounding name, until you look back and see that he has said or has been attributed to him that before these schools will be integrated, in other words, before my kids could go to that school, blood would flow through the streets like rivers, like water through rivers. That's how opposed he was when I left South Carolina and considered coming back. I said the one thing that I will not do is have my students go to a school named after that idiot because I was here when he was talking that kind of foolishness. Those people still walk. They still hold power. When we look at what that governor of Florida did, taking off, did not do what he wanted them to do. They were doing what the people wanted them to do. But this is what happens, my friends. This is what happens. They are not doing what he wanted to. He fired people elected by the people. This is not democracy. This is not good for America. America was founded on the fact of we being able to determine our own fate. Some of you may be familiar with Angela Davis, a radical from the 60s, 70s, a college professor. But did you know that Angela Davis had ancestors who came to America on the Mayflower? The Mayflower? We are divergent, and yet the people that claimed all this inferiority of the black race, Strom Thurmond, had a black daughter, SMA Washington, and yet he vowed white supremacy to the end. He vowed it to the very end. We had people like George Wallace. George Wallace supposedly changed his opinion later on. Somebody tried to kill George Wallace. And one of the people that was running against him as they were running for the presidency was Shirley Chisholm. She showed the decency of visiting this man. I don't know, can't say for certainty that it was that visit. But it came across that he changed his mind. He changed his mind. We see so many cases of young children showing a defiance because they don't know that they ain't supposed to be able to. And we allow that foolishness to go on. We allow it because we don't know the story of Richard Greener. That man should be celebrated. There is now a statue down there to him, just as there is a statue, I believe, in Anderson or Clemson or Sandy Springs, that part of South Carolina, that honors Corporal Freddie Stowers, C-O-W-E-R-S. And you ask, who is Freddie Stowers? Freddie Stowers, Corporal Freddie Stowers, is the first black person to win the Medal of Honor, the highest medal we can get in World War I. That's 70 miles from where I am. And if it had not been for his family, and I just texted his great niece today, I know them. I know the work that they did. That honor was not presented in World War I. It wasn't presented in World War II. It wasn't presented in Vietnam or the Gulf War. It was given to him by George Bush. I believe it was H.W. That's what happens when we're not recognized. Do you realize that a military base is being renamed from Fort Polk to Fort Henry Johnson? Henry Johnson? Henry Johnson stationed at Camp Wadsworth in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I'm tracing down this information. But I understand that the mayor of Spartanburg, Dr. Mayor Floyd, to the War Department and says, we're not going to lift a finger to help these black troops, although they have pledged that they would give up their life for this country. We're not going to do it. There was almost a riot in Spartanburg, and it happened on the corner of Church and Broad. And that happened because it was reported that one of the soldiers went into the hotel there to purchase a newspaper and didn't take his hat off. A riot almost ensued. We need respect. We need to give it, and we need to receive it. It's as pure, as simple as that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, don't be shy. I'm going to give that number once again, and we're going to open the mics again. but it's 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. You can't tell me that some of you don't have questions, don't have comments, don't have suggestions, don't have disagreements. I think I used the same word in there twice. Don't have disagreements with what has been said, that all of this is stuff that you knew all along. We bring you information like this every week. When you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com, click on blog list. In most browsers, it's going to be near the top. That will bring up well over 300 posts that we have. Give you information, good, bad, and ugly. Oh, what I did not finish telling you in Hamburg, South Carolina, is that white people brought in cannons, fired on the courthouse, and set it on fire. And when people came out, they either shot them or took them later and hanged them. 100 black people lost their lives. What did they do? They built a memorial to the black people? No. Three white people lost their lives, taking the lives of these black people who wanted full citizenship. That's who the monument is to. Is that right? Is that the country that you represent? And you don't have any questions? You accept that? Lock, stock, and barrel? No, I don't believe you. I do not believe you. We're not going to embarrass you on the radio. The only thing that I ask is that we have a civilized conversation. Hopefully we'll have children, young people, young listeners. Future is being shaped by understanding who they are, what they are. We have white kids that are being told that you're superior. Superior to what? Is it true? In some cases, yes. In most cases, no. But we cannot function as a team unless we all know, unless we all know what's going on. This is how we make advances. Come together as adults, and we make this known. We have this discussion. Yeah, it's embarrassing on both sides. Those that have ancestors that did and those that didn't. But you know what? One of the things that nobody brings up is there were black people that owned slaves, but for a different reason. There were a few that owned slaves for the same reason the white people did. But most of them, because of laws like the Fugitive Slave Law, that said, all I have to do is say that you belong to me. That man can't go into court. A man, woman, or child cannot go into court and testify against me because they're black and I'm white. So I'm free. Even if you have never been enslaved a day in your life, all I have to do is say, that's mine. Help me get him. And if you don't, you're breaking the law. This can be embarrassing. The treaty's broken. When we look at the Transcontinental Railroad and we see the golden spike being laid, and we have, they didn't build that railroad. The Chinese, the Asians built that railroad. Many of them lost their lives. But when it comes to taking glory, we can't. They're inferior. No, they're not. They just have not been given the opportunity. We want to make that possible. We want to make that possible. We've got about 15 minutes. Let's open the microphones again. I see that we lost one of our listeners, but we have the microphones open now, so if anybody has comments, now is the time to let it fly. Caller? Is that you, Marcia?
Yes, yes, Mr. Abercrombie, Marshall James. Bill, you're listening to you, man. How you educating us? This is better than going to class with you educating on us about ourselves, because I was talking to a young man a few years ago. He had been through college and he had never heard tell of Juneteenth.
Okay, yeah.
And how in the world do you, in this America, and this young man was probably 40, 50 years old, he had never heard tell of Juneteenth. This was just a few years ago. So, you know, you were doing the educating. You were the teacher. We all have to be taught. I admire anybody that's teaching anything, even if it's wrong. We have to learn. Somebody have to speak up. Somebody have to stand up and teach us the things we need to know. We said the same thing this morning in Sunday school. We in here trying to get this thing right. What it was that you do on the Sabbath day and you couldn't do every day. Well, that's why we're here. We're trying to get it right. That's what we,
yeah.
And that's what I see that you're doing. You trying to make it right and to let us know what really what the history, the real history, not his history, but history. That is what you're doing, and I admire you for it, and keep up the good work, and hopefully you get more listeners. And next weekend, you bring your card and paper, and also there'll be some people here that we're going to be giving cards out.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Tell you that the first time I ever heard about Juneteenth wasn't in South Carolina. I was in Washington State. And what we had there was a lot of people that came from Texas, came up to work. And I thought, man, these people have made themselves up a holiday, but ain't nothing wrong with that either. But when I began to understand what was there, I began to think, I'm pretty ignorant for an educated man, because at that time I had a college degree, I was working as a chemist, and, you know, you couldn't have told me that I didn't know everything that needed to be known. Now, you know, we have another holiday, Memorial Day. It started in Charleston,
yes.
And it was after the Civil War, and we were honoring those that were killed in that war. But we have omitted, and omission is as bad as telling a lie, because you think that you have been given the information, and you haven't. And then when you get to the point of saying, no, you can't teach this, you can talk about the Tulsa riot, which wasn't a riot, it was a massacre. And you can't talk about race. The whole thing was based on race. And unless we get to the point of saying, yeah, and we start looking at what is taking place, when we vote, and I remember people in Spartanburg going down protesting the county sheriff, and it was embarrassing to see that, because the question was, what's next? Who do you vote for? We ain't thought about that. We have to be realistic. We can be realistic. When Martin Luther King rose to power, he was a young man. He was on 39 when he was killed. But we think somehow that it's got to be the old folks. Excuse me. That lead us. No, it's the people with the young minds. I don't care how old you are chronologically. It's the minds that are willing to think, the knowledge that's there, and we share it across generations. I'm looking very forward, Marshall, to next week, and I see that we don't have any other people calling in. But I'm always appreciative to know that I know your heart, your mind, your soul. You're not just a bunch of air. You're not just a bunch of talk. You're a bunch of action. And that's why I love you and Leon and the other people, you know, we've run into, the John Fowlers, the Greg McKees, and other people that have been sick. It's that which we should look at, not the color of our skin. And unless there are any other comments, we will close out. I want to thank all of our listeners, those that did call in and did not. But don't feel shy. I didn't know a lot of this information. Sometimes we don't look it up because we don't know how to. If that's your question, ask it. If you have told you a story and you want to see if there's any truth to it, we may not be able to answer that at the time, but we can certainly look at it. You may have information that you know of that we don't. It is reported that George Washington Carver at one time looked at opening a school in Spartanburg. You know, we are as important as anyone else. And I'm only talking about South Carolina because that's what happened. When we look at the lake that feeds Atlanta, its water, city down there, Oscarville, that was a holy black town that they took. And we don't know about it. We don't understand that we have established towns. Mound Bayou in Mississippi. We have had all black towns, but we've also had sundown towns. Some of you may say, what's a sundown town? While there's possibility that they still exist, the thing was, serve yourself after sundown in this town. You got to be out of here. And I have an article in there on that. I see our earlier listener has called back in. If you have any comments, this is the time. Oh, I'm not sure what was going on that phone, but I hope that he has a better connection, he or she, because we don't discriminate. Like I said, Constance Baker Motley designed the entire Brown v. Board case and was very instrumental in that. She should have been a Supreme Court justice. Not that Charles Hamilton Houston or Thurgood Marshall should not have been. I won't bring it up, but there is one that never should have been, shouldn't be now, and is being questioned on ethics and other considerations. But they were looking for a replacement of Thurgood Marshall. And they messed up. I wish I could say what I used to say back in the day. But they got it all twisted up. That man don't represent nothing but greed and what can take place. Anyway, we have heard the story of Richard T. Greener. Anytime you're down in the area of Columbia, go by and look at this statue that they have finally recognized this man. 100 years, 150 years after his great accomplishment. Think how many kids could have been inspired by that story alone. How many you could have inspired by that story alone. And yet and still, if you go back and look at over 300 articles, there's a wealth of information. We want to talk to you, just like we do to Marshall, who can share stuff. Marshall is probably as old as I am because he and his brother have been singing for, 76, 77 years together and used to open for groups like Sam Cooke and others. And they still sing, and they sound good, folks. Real good. So with that, I will conclude this broadcast. The program you're listening to is Did You Know? And I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m. Give us a listen. Save your questions. Put that number down. Call us. Ask about it. We all learn. And with that, my friends, I want you all to be blessed. Thank you for listening. Be with you again next week. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
God bless you. God bless.
Bless you, my friend.